3 o'clock hour on the Hochman and Crowder Show. Thanks to Gino Toretta for joining us last segment. I do have a dilemma I wanted to run by you guys here. We don't have that much time. Aronde Gadsden's going to join us in about 20 minutes. And it is regarding me being trapped in Asheville and the bachelor party. I'll try to fit it in at some point in the show. Yeah, Crowder,
that's what you're calling it, huh?
I am scared to ask you this question because I know what your answer is going to be, but it's a God's honest truth dilemma that I'm facing. So I do want to bring it up on the show. Let me remind everybody that the NASCAR playoffs are set for Homestead Miami Speedway at the end of October, and you could win a 4-pack of tickets to see it all unfold. To enter, all you got to do, go to WQAM.com/contests. Can't wait to win. You can purchase tickets at HomesteadMiamiSpeedway.com. And don't forget, we're still giving away our last pair of tickets to go watch the Marley Brothers. That'll be at Bayfront Park this Saturday. Just keep listening today, and you'll have an opportunity to win those tickets.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God bless. Dale.
Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. And Messi is my MVP.
All right. Big win yesterday for the Herons. They clinched the supporter shield. Let me ask you guys. All right. So here's the dilemma. Crowder, if an NFL quarterback, if Patrick Mahomes missed half the season, right? His team only, his team had the best record throughout the NFL. Let's say they went, 14-3. But Mahomes, who's the best player in the NFL? We know that. And I think everybody would agree Messi's the best player in the MLS. If he missed half the games, but his team still had the number one overall record, and when he came back, he was still at the top of his game, would he win MVP? Would he be eligible to win MVP?
Wait, to be clear, this is not your Asheville dilemma.
This is not
a different dilemma.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Pell. Thanks for clarifying.
You're welcome. Just wanted everybody to make sure they knew.
Messi's not going to y'all's bachelor party, quote unquote. No, he doesn't. Even being the best player, like there's the best players in the league. Like I argue for years, Aaron Donald was the best football player in the world for years. He wasn't the MVP. But like you have to prove it. You have to have the numbers. You have to have all that. You even said it, like he's top five in some categories, top three in some categories. I tried to look it up, and I don't even know how to look up MLS stats. I want to get the guy that's number one in all those categories, and he will be the MVP. You can't be the best player in the league and play. To your point, NBA, you can't play 41 games to be MVP. NFL, you can't play 8 games to be the MVP. He cannot play half the games of the season and say he's the MVP of a league because he was only out there half the time. No. Messi cannot be the MVP.
And I also think, too, them being able to stay afloat while he missed games, like they didn't really falter a lot. Not that they would be as good long-term without him, but the fact that they were able to stay in the position they were in for the time that he was out kind of pokes holes in his MVP argument. And this is all obviously to say he's obviously the best player. Like, there is no debate about that. But I think, you know, missing half the games in the team while you were out, still being relatively successful.
Oh, it's not relatively successful. The games he missed, they had, I think at one point they had won like 8 of 9 games he had missed during that stretch after the Copa America. But here's the thing. Like, what side
better without.
What side do you fall on? Well, actually, the analytics say, that's the funny part. The analytics say that they were a better team when Messi was out, just based on what they did. Obviously, like that's a little faulty, but all right. He has 17 goals and 15 assists in the 17 games he played in. He's missed 15 games. They played 32. He missed 15 of those games, but he's leading the MLS in goal contributions. Like, what side do you fall on? The side you guys are saying, which is, hey, the team was just as successful without him when he wasn't playing, and he's missed too many games to be considered an MVP, or I think a fair argument, which I think I'm leaning towards, which is the dude played in half the games and he has the best stats all around in the MLS. Like, doesn't that also speak to just how extraordinary his season was? He played in half the games everybody else played in, but his stats are just as good, if not better, all around. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I think he's going to get the MVP, by the way. Like, I think he's going to. But and I know most of our listeners don't really care. But, hey, it's Lionel Messi, and the MLS loves themselves some Lionel Messi.
It's so clear, just judging by Crowder's reaction to this, that if Messi ends up getting the MVP, Channing's going to boycott MLS. He's done watching those games.
Yeah, man, I'm going to just stay at Wendy's right there down the road instead of going to see the Herons. Josh just said it. Yes, he's the best player in MLS, hands down. He's one of the best players. I don't know, Solana, arguably the best player ever to kick a damn soccer ball. But you cannot play in half the games and win the MVP.
Yeah.
Those guys are grinding and going and working. If a guy plays in 40 NBA games and has 40 points a game, and another guy has 37 points a game but played in 75, the 75-game guy should win it. The longevity of it, the every-night grind of it. He's not grinding. He's at Publix with his kids. He's going to Argentina and hanging out. Like, no. He's an amazing soccer player. But you can't tell me I'm going to just sit. Hey, my country needs me to be over there and hang out. So I'm going to miss 4 or 5 games. Good luck.
Well, everybody does that, to be fair.
He can't win the MVP of a league.
Republic with his kids.
He's not missing games, for the record. He's not missing games because he's playing with Argentina. They actually get, part of the games he's missed were injury, most of them. He only missed a couple games, like a handful of games, because he went to go play with Argentina. Bro, Crowder, most people feel the way you do, by the way. He's missed too many games. He can't be MVP. No. But it's hard to compare it to NFL or NBA, because if you miss 35 or more games, like, your numbers just aren't going to stack up with somebody who played in 70 games. And in the NFL, like, if Patrick Mahomes missed 10 games, or let's say he missed 6 games, his total yardage numbers and his total touchdown numbers aren't going to look the way that it would look in soccer, where Messi has missed 15 games, but his stats are comparable, if not better, than people who have played in more games. So it's hard to compare the two, but it is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Solana, would you be taking that side of this argument? It is a fair point, but would you be taking that side of the argument if you were not an Inter Miami supporter?
Right, and people are going to be, MLS fans everywhere outside of Miami are going to be outraged when this guy wins the MVP. You're right. Like, it's because he's our guy. He deserves it.
The argument here is, like, not that he doesn't deserve it. He's obviously put up numbers to deserve it. And I think it's an interesting conversation as well. But I think that there might be some Inter-Miami blinders at play.
Oh, for sure.
On your end of the conversation. No, that's a bad thing. It's natural.
Well, if, like, it's not...
It is a good argument in favor of him.
I'll give you a rational take then. If it's not Messi, it better be Luis Suarez. Period. End of story. It better be the other Inter-Miami guy.
You're certainly not biased towards him.
Hey, man, listen. Cucho Hernandez with Columbus has 92 points. Dennis Bugunga has 63 points. Luis Suarez has 41 points. Luis can win it.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Better be Suarez. Better be.
Luciano Acosta with Cincinnati has 33 points. They played in way more games.
All right.
They represented the league at a higher level than Messi has.
Okay.
I want Cucho to win it.
Cucho got his ass kicked last night. All right. Well, settle down with the Columbus take. The Miami, Inter Miami went into their biggest rivals last night, clinched the supporter shield, and your boy Drake Callender came up with the big win. Speaking of, let's do headlines. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us. Hawk is off today, by the way, celebrating the Jewish New Year with his family. I am a terrible Jew and decided to show up on Rosh Hashanah. So, Lashana Tova to Jimmy, love that. Lashana Tova to all my fellow tribesmen. And let's do headlines with Josh Appel, who is taking over the reins of headlines while Hawk is off.
Well, Shana Tova to you, Solana.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Headlines are brought to you by, and a Crowder, and a Jimmy. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. We just talked about Inter Miami. Regular season ends in a couple of weeks. Supporters Shield winners for the first time in club history, on pace to break the league's point record of 73. They've got a couple more weeks to get that done. Regular season ends on the 19th. NFL news. Thursday night football tonight in Atlanta. Falcons and the Bucks, 8:15. Amazon. You can also hear Westwood One's coverage on WQAM tonight. The Falcons are a 2-point favorite at home.
I saw Pizzola say that there's actually a ton of action coming in on the Falcons. I saw him tweet it out. I don't know.
In the public?
Are you guys buying into Kirk Cousins and the Falcons?
I think they're better, but like I don't know what he looks like at the end of a regular season because he, like physically, he just doesn't look right. They're getting it done, but like physically, Kirk doesn't look right to me still, just coming off the Achilles injury. So I don't know how long term that's going to look for them, but I love their coach. Their defense is good. It's the NFC South, so anybody can win that division. I'm not buying the Falcons, but I'm not buying them quite yet.
Yeah. They're still up for grabs. I'm actually friends with both head coaches, Bowles and Raheem Morris, because we're on the black thread together. But I'm bought in. I would say to the buy-in conversation, I'm bought into the Bucks more than I'm bought into the Falcons. Yeah. I think Baker Mayfield, him, what they're doing, they're a physical team. They're going to play defense. Todd Bowles, a defensive guy. I think since Bruce left with the whole championship thing, they've swung their whole team back to make it tight, but Mike Evans is still a monster. Mike Evans is still a dog. He's going to get 13 targets. He's going to catch 8 of them. He's going to be around 100 yards. Every red zone opportunity they have, they're very good in the red zone. So I'm not – me picking the Bucs really isn't knocking the Falcons. It's more of believing in the Bucs tonight.
You didn't even mention Chris Godwin, who's gotten off to a great start this year on the other side of Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving seems like they found – I mean, we're doing backup running back talk for the Bucs, but Bucky Irving's kind of – taking a lot of the carries from Rashad White recently. So, I mean, I'm buying the Bucks too, more so than I am the Falcons. I'm probably going to be on the Bucks tonight.
Bijan Robinson is my favorite running back in the NFL. All the things he can do. Like, he's about to be a Hall of Famer. Kyle Pitts, well, they don't throw him the damn ball. If they ever throw Kyle Pitts the ball, he'll catch him and score some touchdowns. Drake London, sorry. Like, they have talent on it. If the Falcons end up making the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised. But as we sit here today, week 4, yeah, I believe in the Bucks more than the Falcons.
Again, that game's at 8:15 tonight on Amazon. You can also listen to it right here on WQAM. We talked about it earlier. Jalen Phillips out for the season with a knee injury. Many thought it was non-contact when it happened, but it was actually just, it seems like, making the initial injury worse, which was, unfortunately, some friendly fire with Jordan Poyer. Diving to make a tackle, made contact with Jalen Phillips' knee. And unfortunately, for the second consecutive season, Jalen Phillips will miss the remainder of the year. Obviously, they're still without Bradley Chubb. Shaquille Barrett retired before the beginning of the season. So they are pretty thin on the outside. We'll probably see a lot of Chop Robinson. The Dolphins and Tyler Huntley are in New England on Sunday, two teams that desperately need a win. Couple college games on tonight. Sorry.
Appel. Odell Beckham Jr. spoke to the media today for the first time since training camp. I mean, first time this season, right? He was on IR.
Yeah.
He pointed out something that I think is interesting. Tyler Huntley, according to OBJ, threw him his first touchdown in Baltimore. Remember, Tyler Huntley was in Baltimore last year when OBJ was there. Odell Beckham, maybe predicting the future a little bit, Crowder. Tyler Huntley again to OBJ this Sunday in New England. Who says no?
Is he going to play?
I mean, he participated in practice yesterday. It was just a walkthrough, but...
But is this like the window opening for him? Like,
yeah, he's eligible.
Yeah. He's eligible.
Yeah.
I mean, he better.
I'm more worried about Isaiah Wynn. I don't know why I'm more worried about Isaiah Wynn, but I want some fat guys to do fat people things.
We could use some more fat guys. I think OBJ is going to play. I mean, I hope he's going to play. It sounded like him and Cam Smith are on track to play this Sunday.
Well, they can use all the reinforcements they can get right now.
Yeah.
See how that goes on Sunday in Foxborough, which regardless of whenever the Dolphins have been at full strength or not, it's always a difficult place to play. A lot of close games up in Foxborough. You never know what's going to happen there. Panthers beat the Lightning 2-1 in overtime last night in the preseason. They've got one more preseason game against the LA Kings. I think that game's up in Quebec. That's this Saturday. And then Monday night, ring presentation at Amerant Bank Arena, and then Tuesday night, opening night against the Bruins, 2 days ago. That's a fun way to say that. a week from 2 days ago, banner raising night against the Bruins, the Bees, David Pasta and the Bees.
The Bruins are going to come in and try to kick the Panthers' ass, right? Like on banner night.
Obviously. Yeah. And by the way, one more NHL note, speaking of Amazon, the behind the scenes documentary Drive to Survive type show that they did last year, during the NHL season, it premieres tomorrow and some clips are starting to leak. There's some footage of Connor McDavid in the dressing room. I believe after game two for the Oilers, Matthew Tkachuk is featured in it. The last episode is going to be about the Stanley Cup final. And apparently there is some Bruins Panthers, content in there with Matthew Tkachuk, Brad Marchand, Jeremy Swayman. So a lot to look forward to in that documentary as well.
The Panthers are now the rabbit. They're not the Greyhound anymore. Mm-hmm. So everybody, see your points a lot. Everybody's about to try to whoop their ass this year.
It reminds me, I'm going way back here, but 2006, the Heat won the NBA championship. They beat the Chicago Bulls in the first round that year, 4-2. I mean, I still have nightmares of Luol Deng in that series and the year after. But the first game, banner night for the Miami Heat the very next year, I think the Bulls beat Miami by 41 points in that game. Like, the Bulls came into that game just wanting to kill Shaq, Wade, Walker, and the rest of that team. And it just so happens that Heat team, after winning a title, was still drunk from their celebration on banner night. I don't think the Panthers will be, but I think the Heat were literally drunk that night.
They were on a boat with Wayne and Paulina Gretzky today.
Were they really?
And Dustin Johnson. Yeah.
Did you see, we talked about it yesterday, Crowder, the Stanley Cup was at Funky Buddha Brewery yesterday, and yes. I saw a bunch of pictures. KC, the owner of Funky Buddha, our friend, was eating matzo balls out of the Stanley Cup last night.
I hate I was out of town. I really want to mess with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I want to rub on it.
Mm.
Hey, Stanley.
Stanley. You got a big appetite, Stanley.
Hey, Josh. Yeah, Solana and Khalil Ware got a weird appetite.
Nah, man. I asked him if he had a big appetite. That's it. I mean, it wasn't anything more than that.
It was a question. Like it. Terrible question. Last time you asked a man, does he have a big appetite?
Yesterday.
Walgreens.
Next time I see you, Crowder, I'm gonna say first one in sets the market, and you got a big appetite today.
By the way, Joe Shad says that Odell Beckham Jr. said Coach Mike McDaniel will determine if he plays Sunday at New England.
Oh goodness! Don't put more on McDaniel. Let him call the damn offense.
Imagine that conversation between OBJ and Mike McDaniel Sunday morning.
Seems a little overwhelmed, OBJ.
So, Coach, am I suiting up today or what? Well, you know, when you talk about suiting up, I think we have to break down suit and up. And Coach, am I playing or am I not? Just tell me.
What's that SpongeBob meme? 45 minutes later.
Yeah.
72 hours later.
An eternity later.
S-U-I-T, you mean suit up in that concept? Jesus Christ.
What is a suit?
So, but if your gut feeling, Crowder, he plays?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's biting at the bit. I think being down here, I know he always comes down here. I've actually seen OBJ out a couple times. I think he wants to play and prove something and just be the – they're scoring 11 points a game. If OBJ comes out and gets a touchdown, now he's the catalyst of the offense. I think it looked good for him. I think it looked good for the offense.
But they've got a bye after this week, so I wonder if they just take it through the bye and bring it back after that.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
But come out, then you have the week to, you know. Oh, hey, to that point, I'm not saying OBJ is running 65 snaps. He's going to come in on about 11 plays, 15 plays, get two targets. Like, yeah, he's not coming in to be an offensive threat the entire game, but just to add a new wrinkle.
Yeah, plus we got to save some snaps for Dee Eskridge and Julian Hill. I mean, come on. That's who we're really targeting out there.
What do you know about Dee Eskridge, all right?
Man, I would tie Julian Hill's shoelaces together if I was on the sideline.
I mean, that's kind of how he plays anyways.
He can't jump off sides if his shoelaces are together.
Might just fall over offside. Wild card update. Mets Brewers tonight, game three. The rest of the divisional series are set. Tigers beat the Astros, so they play in the ALDS against Cleveland. Royals swept the Orioles. They clinch a spot, and they'll play the Yankees. Padres swept the Braves. They'll play the Dodgers. That's going to be a great NLDS. And then the winner of Mets Brewers will play the Phillies in the DS, and those begin on Saturday. Your weather is sponsored by Devensman & Dover Law Firm, your accentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Sunnier, still hot, still humid. It's South Florida. How's your weather?
There it is. Perfect weather report. Don't forget, football season is underway, and the way to keep up with everything happening right now, download the free Odyssey app. All football fans are going to enjoy it. Catch up with everything we're doing here on our show. You can also use the rewind feature. Listen to any part of our show that you might have missed. Make Hawk and Crowder your favorite show. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast as well, whether it's the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, we greatly appreciate you. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us in the next segment. I'm sure he has some comments on OBJ as well. It's Crowder, it's Appel, Solana, Jimmy. Hawk will be back tomorrow for a Football Friday. More Hawkman and Crowder after this break.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I give him the Chicken Little. I give him the 1-2 crossing the street. I give him a left and a right, a quick left and right. Anybody looking? Ah, double dip.
Hawk and Crowder.
Don't forget, we still have a chance for you to win Marley Brothers tickets. They're coming to Bayfront Park this Saturday, and we have a chance for you to win tickets. Keep listening to our show for details on how you could win. This is a Live Nation show. We'll give those away probably in the next hour, because right now we have to speak with former Miami Dolphins wide receiver Aronde Gadsden. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and frankly, there's a lot to get to with OG. Aronde, happy Thursday, and where are you right now with the Miami Dolphins? Are the wheels coming off? Because after the Jalen Phillips news yesterday, it kind of feels like this is going to end up being one of those seasons, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to put a handle on it right now, but you know, nobody's going to win with injuries. I mean, if you take it all into consideration, you know, hey, England hasn't won a game since they lost their quarterback. So, I mean, if you lose your quarterback, which is the biggest, one of the biggest cogs in the wheel, it's tough to rebound. And now things are just piling up and adding on. So, you know, you got to grin and bear it. We aren't the Dallas Cowboys, so at some point you have to say, all right, we call uncle and we're rebuilding.
Well, OG, with the quarterback thing, man, like, what should I blame McDaniel? I lost some confidence in McDaniel, bro. I ain't going to lie, because last week I was saying, okay, he has an athletic quarterback. Mike White wasn't athletic. Tim Boyle was not athletic. Tua's not that athletic. Now he has an athletic quarterback. He's going to kind of, I don't want to say revamp the offense, but change it up, do some different things with the run game, try to get Snoop Huntley in space, get A-Chain in space with the run game. And it looked like the same offense with a guy that hasn't been here but 13 days. Is that on him? Is that performance against them? And just really just this whole year, OG, the offense is terrible. They're averaging 11 points a game. Are you starting to question McDaniel a little bit? Because I am.
Yeah, I think I agree, man. You know, we talked about this a few years ago when he first got here. You know, I've said this all along. I just don't think he has a plan B, man. And this shows it as well. You know, like you said, we're running Tua plays without Tua, and that's just tough to do. You don't learn that in a week. You don't learn that in 2 weeks. The offense has so many motions and, you know, shovel passes and timing throws that you just can't learn that in a week or two unless you just, you know, been practicing it. So you're trying to run those same plays with Tyler Huntley. It's just not going to work because it's just not his skill set. You know, he won games with the Ravens with two tight ends, one wide receiver, two backs, well, back and a fullback. So if we're not running any of those plays, it's going to be tough for us to move the ball consistently the way we want to move it. But, you know, it's just unfortunate the way things have gone down. Because in my mind, I think Mike McDaniel is the some blame for Tua getting hurt, to be quite honest. And why I say that is, it was 4th and 7 in the fourth quarter. It's 31-10. Like, why are you going for that? Like, kick the field goal. Like, even if you score, it's still 31-17. Like, what are we doing? It's game 2. It's not game 17 where we got to win to get home field advantage. Like, just kick the field goal. Take everybody off the field. Like, you know, let Tua sit down and think about what he going to say to the media about throwing those 3 picks. But, like, you go for it.
But OG, I mean – I get where you're coming from, but also, I mean, Tua, just go down, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that,
like,
but,
just
but,
go
but,
down.
But once again, like when we played Tennessee last year, we lost by 4. If you kick the 2 field goals when we're in the red zone instead of going for it on 4th down, we win. That's 6 points. We lost by 4. Like, even if he scores, even if, say Tua runs and throws the ball and we score, it's 31-17. Like, we're not going to win the game. Like, we're just not going to win the game. It's the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. You're a competitor. You know, Tua has to go down. Throw the ball out of the back of the end zone, Tua. Why are you running? But you're a competitor. I mean, he's a competitor. He want to win, so you're going to try to win. You got to save players from themselves sometimes. But still, why are we going for it on 4th and 7 inside the 20 and we down 31-10?
Well, I mean, not to get into the minutiae of that decision, but, like, if you kick a field goal, you're making a 3-score game, a 3-score game. So if you go for it, you don't get it, then you're still at a 3-score game regardless. You're trying to make it 2 scores there. And you brought up the Tennessee game. They didn't kick the field goals early, but they were still up by 2 scores with 4 minutes to go. That's irrelevant, though. I want to ask you, OG. Also, hey, good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, Josh.
You've been in different wide receiver rooms over the course of your career, obviously. And I'm wondering, right, given what we saw on the sideline from Jalen Waddle and what we saw on the sideline from Tyreek Hill, what do you think that wide receiver room, what do you think the conversations in there are like in a week like this after a game and a stretch like this?
You know, it's tough. It's tough, but, you know, especially, you know, a player, I'm sure Channing feels the same way, to see Tyreek Hill not go for a ball, you know, throwing backwards. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Like, but, you know, it's you know, you're trying to just tell him, you know, one game at a time. You're just trying to tell him to, you know, control the things you can control. But, you know, they're not used to that. Like, you if you've seen, I mean, how many passes Tyreek Hill had? 3. And how many Waddle had in the game? Maybe 4. But, you know, it's combined, they didn't get, I mean, barely over 50 yards receiving. That's tough for guys who get, you know, 6-7 balls and 120 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? So that's tough, but they know it's not their offense. Like, would Tua have hit Tyreek on the long bomb? I think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
at least one of them.
Yeah, at least one of them. So, you know, that's tough, and it is frustrating when you can't, you know, do the things you used to doing. So, once again, you can only control the things you can control. You know, we all press in that situation because we want to, you know, get the ball and score right away and make everything better. But, you know, it's like, you know, like being down by, you know, 20 in basketball, 1-3 not going to help. You know what I mean? Like, you got to put together some stuff. And, you know, with the injuries now piling up, it's kind of tough to you know, look optimistic on the whole season when we thought, and I was one of them. I bought him when we gave, you know, 2 of the money. I was like, well, he's the only one that can run the offense, so I'm all in on it. We can win the AFC East because I thought, you know, Buffalo wasn't as dangerous as they used to. And, you know, all of it is kind of not totally over, but it's close.
I'm curious, OG, because we talk about how this scheme and the offense still looks eerily similar to what they ran when Tua was healthy. So from your perspective, realistically, what adjustments are possible and what do you think they should adjust to until Tua is back?
Like I said, I mean, I know it's tough. It's definitely tough because we have the pieces in place,
right,
to do what, you know, listen, for nothing. And I've said this, you know, to my friends and, you know, in circles on Threads. I mean, Huntley was a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, and he won games for the Ravens. He just didn't win it in that type of offense. We got two tights. We got two tights we can put back there. We got a fullback, and we got Tyreek Hill out wide. Like, you can run an offense with that. You can run an offense with that. I mean, you obviously got to practice it, but you're trying to get a quarterback that doesn't have the skill set of just throwing the ball on time and accurate to do something he's not comfortable doing. And I think if we want to win games, we have to cater at least a little bit toward the quarterback more than the quarterback catering to the offense. How possible that is in this short period of time, I'm not sure, but I think we got the pieces. Not a lot of teams carry a fullback. We got a fullback. The Ravens carry the fullback. Like, you know, those things matter. And we got two tight ends, two real good tight ends. They won with two tight ends. I think you just have to look at some plays that worked for him when he was at his best and run that. He's a running quarterback. He's been a running quarterback since, you know, here in high school at Allendale. So, I mean, you know, you got to get him on the edge to run it. In the fourth quarter, when he did run and improvise on some plays, it worked. I mean, he scored. So I think you got to get to that somehow. You know, the timing throws, you know, you obviously got to put it in because that's the offense everybody's used to running. But, you know, is he going to time out the post on the fourth outside, hit his third back step? Not consistently. I just don't think that's the way to go.
LG, with that thought, and to what Josh just said, like that running the ball, you know, pounding the ball, you know, shorten the game. Bro, we both coach. We know how it is. Hey, we don't want to make this a shootout. We're going to shorten this game up. We're going to try to we want this to be a 2017 game. We don't want it to be a 38-35 game. And you can scheme up that way. But do we have I don't want to question grown men, but like the dogs to do it. Like when we ran that 3-4 defense early in my career, Kevin Carter, Vonnie Holiday, Keith Traylor, you know, JT on the edge. We brought in Matt Roth, who was just a wrecking ball. Mm. Like they filled the roster with people that were going to go and whoop ass. And now, are we asking a finesse roster to now adjust to an ass-kicking offense? Because I don't know if Eichenberg and Austin Jackson and these guys, I don't know if they want to go whoop nobody's ass 60 times a game.
Yeah. I mean, the other option is to look like we looked the other night. That's the other option. I mean, you either ain't going to have to get ready to whoop some ass and block, you know, 45 times a game, or we're going to look like we looked. And you know how it is. Once teams smell blood in the water, the blitz coming, everybody coming. Obviously, we can't change personnel at this point in the season. You know, you guys had personnel for that system. Just like when I played, we had the personnel for the defense ran. We had two good corners. We had two good ends. We had Zach in the middle. I mean, you can't do it. But I'm saying for the offense to have some success, and you're going to go with Tyler Huntley, you're going to have to fashion the offense to fit his skill set. I just don't know how else to look at it. Like, I don't think Tyler Huntley – I mean, can he? Of course he can. But I just don't think on a consistent, you know, basis for the next 13 games or 9-8 games, he's going to throw for 300 yards and 6 touchdowns. And I just don't think that's his skill set. Now, will he run for, you know – 80 yards and throw for 169? Okay. All right, I got that. But if you want him to drop back just because we got Eichenberg now, nah. I don't know if that's just going to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
we can't build our offense around Eichenberg.
No. We're not building our offense around Eichenberg. I mean, did you see the play when Huntley got the ball and he tried to throw the swing pass to AJ? Like, I mean, what was that? Like, would it get stuck or what? I mean, what happened? Like,
That's the frustrating part, OG. It's not that the offense looks bad two straight weeks or three straight, really, but without Tua, it's that they look incompetent, bro. Like, they literally look like everybody looks lost out there, man.
They can't get lined up.
I know it's tough. It's tough, and that's why I came on with the it's tough to say that one out of the 11 is gone and everybody look like, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Everybody on the short bus all of a sudden. I don't know what happened. But, I mean, you know, that happens. I think, you know, hey, look, you take Patrick Mahomes out of the Chiefs offense. I mean, they struggle too. Everybody struggled. Like I said, they took Tom Brady away from New England. They hadn't won a game yet. Yeah. You know, so it's tough because there's so much that the offense does. Like, I mean, there's people going in motion and reverse and behind two and go behind, stop, and go back the other way, and he hit a shovel pass. Like, you're asking, you know, somebody to do that in 2 weeks, just a tough ask. If you just ask somebody to, you know, throw some comebacks and throw a dig route and throw a few swing passes, I got you. But the offense is quite complicated. And like I say, you know, it's like the dude, the orchestrator, is the orchestra, you know, he calling the same plays. I don't see him adjusting. But, you know, if we got to wait until week nine, we got a ways to go.
Aronde Gadsden, again, former Miami Dolphins wide receiver. OG, we always appreciate you taking some time. I talked with you off the air. Your son plays for Syracuse. Syracuse has a big matchup this weekend at UNLV, who are kind of like the center of the college football universe right now. That's right. They play at Allegiant Stadium, right? Oh, you're going to be
yep.
OG's flying to Vegas right now, Crowder.
Yeah. Yep, going to Vegas and see what they got going on in Allegiant Stadium. So it's a game tomorrow night. You know, it's tough to play on Friday night. It's tough to play at UNLV, especially if they're playing real good football. The offense, you know, their signal caller is gone. So, but the defense is really good. So, you know, we're going to have to put up some points. Hopefully my son can help them put up some points and we could sneak out of Vegas with a victory.
Hey, OG, I don't know what's going on at UNLV or Syracuse, but if you need me to let you know what's going on in Vegas, just text me.
I may give you a call offline, as the kids say, and see what you got going on, because I'll be there, you know, Saturday, since they play Friday night. The game's at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, so maybe I will give you a call and see what you have for some extracurricular activity.
Hey,
my man at the Aria, he got you if you want to gamble, and then Girl Collection, Floyd spot.
I was supposed to be off the air. What happened there?
Yeah.
OG, In-N-Out though. I got you. Let's clean this up. In-N-Out Burger, OG. Get yourself an In-N-Out.
Okay.
OG, appreciate you, man. Good luck. Good luck to you and your son on Saturday.
All right, man. Friday night. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Friday night. That's right. Aronde Gadsden, appreciate you, man. OG and Crowder blowing a little heat at the end of that interview, bro. What happened there, man?
What you talking about? I mean, I amp up. Aria always watches out for me. My man Michael.
Yeah.
He's the general manager, and he'll watch out if I hit him and say OG's coming. And then Girl Collection. I can call Floyd's, you know, manager, and and OG can see the Girl Collection.
All right. Channing Crowder, ladies and gentlemen. That's Aronde Gadsden. We still have a lot to get to. I really do want to dive deeper into the Dolphins conversation. Because we've said this, right, Crowder? This has shown that the narrative Mike McDaniel saved Tua's career, we can kind of throw that out the window. Tua kind of built McDaniel's career. I want to dive into that.
I will only do this, Josh, because Hawk's not here and I hope he's not listening. Hawk kind of called this as soon as Tua got hurt.
Yeah.
Where I'm starting to lean that way, Josh.
Yeah.
Where if Tua's not here, does McDaniel look like a genius last year?
No. Yeah, it's worth
but if Tua had an Andy Reid, I think Tua could still be successful.
It's worth diving into. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. So a lot to get to. Crowder, Appel, Solana, and Jimmy, we take you up until 6. More Hawk and Crowder next.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm Mount Rushmore of chicken wing flavors. Honey barbecue, mild, medium, and boneless.
Okay. Boneless? Flavors though, huh?
Hawk and Crowder.